This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday, March 30th, 2020, For Your Benefit radio show. Good show today. We're going to talk about transition into retirement with a transition retirement coach, Herb Casey. Herb not only is a coach now, but he is a prior Fed with a lot of boots on the ground at State Department, IRS, OPM, NIH, and I should not say State Department, Department of State. And so he's been there and done a diverse group. He's an excellent coach, knows the system and whatnot. But good morning, Herb.
Good morning, Bob. And to listeners, thank you for having me on the program today.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and I try to emulate your voice. So you're going to do most of the talking. I'll take notes. So question. When we talk about retirement readiness, as a firm, we do retirement seminars to an awful lot of agencies and for over 30 years. And there's always a spot on the program to talk about retirement readiness. In other words, we might talk about tax, we might talk about finance, benefits, Social Security, et cetera. But we also need to get our heads straight. So I guess the first question is, if I was in the class, I would say, what should be my focus when addressing retirement?
As far as looking at retirement, again, you mentioned the fact that, you know, folks focus on sometimes the financial side, but also find that it's important to focus on those emotional and psychological things, because you may have enough money in retirement, but if you don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to spend your time, you probably still won't enjoy being retired.
I live with that. My dad was like my best friend. He loved his job. He worked for the federal government, Army engineers. And he decided one day that things weren't right, and he retired. 4 years later, he passed. Because that was his life.
Yeah, and sometimes what we look at is we say, be careful that doesn't turn into you, because so many times individuals will leave and they don't have a clue. They don't know how to focus. So one of the first questions I often ask is in a group is to sort of say, think of an individual or couple who you feel have made a successful transition to retirement, and think about why was it successful. And on the other end, if you know somebody who didn't have one, think about why it wasn't unsuccessful, to begin to help you to think about these issues.
All righty. So when somebody, of course, listens to this show, they might say, when should I start thinking about what I should do? Should it be 2 months before I retire? Should it be 2 years? And then what do I look at? So the process probably should start well before somebody retires. The question is how long?
You know, I say one of the things that can happen is you may want to do this as you start working, because all of us have interests or passions. Some of us are fortunate enough to have a job that we can do what we like and we're passionate about. But others, you may have other interests or hobbies that you put on the back burner. So what we tell people is that as you're working, or as you get especially toward the mid-career or late career, begin to test the waters, begin to learn new things, or begin to practice on areas that you have an interest in. And that way, you now have something that you're going to when retirement comes.
That's true. I had one of your predecessors, it was a fairly long time ago, 10 or better years, and we were talking about just this. And so he said to me, he says, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to play in the NBA. And he looked at me just like this, and he says, what else do you want to do? So, I mean, clearly I was never going to be able to play in my best days in the NBA or anything close to it. But then I started to say, okay, well, I like that, but what else could I do? And probably 10 years later, I still don't know. So I guess it first starts then with attitude. So we're going to say, yeah, I'm going to retire, or I have to retire. Maybe I have to because of years in service or the like. Then I have to ask myself, well, what am I going to do? What's going to be my attitude? So so do we have an attitude adjustment hour here, Herb?
Some of us will. I mean, some of you will have a positive. So I find some individuals are positive. You know, they look at, they'll find ways to be useful, purposeful, and not just busy. I know I talk to some people who've retired, and they say, oh, I'm busier now than I ever was when I was working. And they still have no time. So I tell individuals, you know, sure, we can be busy, but, you know, we also want to make sure that we're being useful and purposeful. And then you have those who may have a negative approach. You know, they feel they no longer have a purpose, and they're getting older. I think that's one of the things that retirement can bring upon, is this thought that you're older and you no longer have any advantage over the younger folks. So that's going to be, and I know one of the things that can happen, and I found this especially for people whose job is their calling, you know, for instance, people who work as doctors and scientists, they may feel that once they retire, their purpose and passion has also been removed from them. And so that's something that individuals like that have to struggle, because they have to recalibrate their sense of purpose and self-worth, because they have this newfound leisure time, and it's sort of, they feel uncertain and they feel guilty.
Okay, so in your experience dealing with folks like this, what have you been able to do to talk them off the ledge, so to speak? In other words, they don't want to retire, but they know they have to retire. And what is the switch that person hears that go, okay, now I don't feel as anxious about it as I did before?
Yeah, one of the things is trying to find out who you are as an individual. You know, things such as your values, because those are the things that sort of are our compass. What are the things that, you know, we value in life? You know, what is our personality? Because, you know, these would be those traits and characteristics that would make you who you are. And I know one of the things we do sometimes to help people do that, as I'm also a certified Myers-Briggs type indicator. And so what happens sometimes, it helps people to sort of understand who they are. I know some people may not like the Myers-Briggs type indicator, but I say you don't have to do that, but just sort of understand that. And by doing that, it helps you to understand your values, your personalities, and also, you know, look at what your strengths are. What are the things you like to do? What are the things you don't like to do? Because this way you can help yourself figure it out. And the reality is, Bob, is that when we talk about transitions, and that's what, you know, retirement's just another transition. We've had them through our lives, and retirement's just another one where we're sort of letting go of something that we're comfortable with and then moving into something that is the unknown. So these are the things that you have to help people to understand. This is something that happens. Transitions happen. It's just a matter that this is a different one, moving from, you know, working to, I guess, your next chapter in life.
All righty. Now, I'm not so sure that everybody knows what Myers-Briggs is. I believe it's not like a test, but it's a test.
It's a personality. It sort of helps you understand your personality, and it's and it's, I think it's roughly around 100 questions or so, which afterwards it helps you determine, you know, things such as, are you an extroverted type of individual? Are you lean toward introversion? These sorts of things. But again, I don't want to get into the nitty gritties of it, but it's just a matter of helping you understand who you are. There are other types of I would say, personality tests out there that you an individual could do. And I know a lot of agencies, if you're still working, a lot of agencies may have training offices or career centers that you would be able to talk to somebody about these types of assessments.
Do you know if the Myers-Briggs is available? I mean, you certainly can't talk to all the agencies, but I would imagine some would have that in the personnel department, if you will, or the wellness center.
Yeah, they may, and if they don't, I know that it's also available, you know, from a private, you know, outside of the government. So, again, you know, I guess the one important thing for individuals to understand is, you know, as you're transitioning, the important thing is trying to get in touch with who you are, what are the things that you enjoy doing, what is it, you know, that you value? And for instance, you know, what if you value your independence, or what if you value, you know, honesty, which all of us probably do? You know, at that point, you would say, do I want that next chapter or something that I'm going to do down the road to be something that is aligned with my values? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go out and find another job as far as paid, but there may be some volunteer work that you're going to do. There may be a hobby that you want to pursue. So this is where, you know, when you're looking at all of this, it helps you to decide what direction you may want to go in.
Okay. Why don't we do this? We'll switch off to a break. And I have a verbal description of what the sponsor of the show, WAEPA, W-A-E-P-A, this Thursday, April 2nd at 2 p.m. They'll be hosting a webinar dealing with COVID-19 stressors in the current information environment. And it features senior advisors to the World Health Organization, Center for Risk Communications, etc. And again, it's the sponsor of the show, WAEPA, WAEPA, and they're going to host this webinar. Again, it's April 2nd, 2 p.m. That's this week, dealing with stressors in the current environment. But let's listen to as well. We have a spot for them, and it'll explain more of what WAEPA does. But this is really timely, and they do outstanding work with regards to their webinars. And they sponsor the show, so they can't be all bad.
You have life insurance to protect the people you love. As a civilian federal employee, you have two choices designed specifically for you: WAEPA and Fegley. The big difference? Price. Chances are WAEPA premiums will cost you less. In fact, the average WAEPA member saves $375 per year on premiums. Prioritize your peace of mind with a life insurance policy designed for feds by feds. If you're a civilian federal employee interested in comparing WAEPA to Fegley, visit waepa.org today. WAEPA is a proud sponsor of 4-Year Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Network, 1500 a.m. WAEPA has been insuring the future of federal workers for more than 75 years. See why over 46,000 feds have already switched to WAEPA at waepa.org.
Well, welcome back to the For Your Benefit show. Today we're talking about assessing your retirement readiness. And we're here with Herb Casey. I'm always jealous of your voice, Herb. and he's a retired Fed, but he was at four of, you know, major players in the federal government, State Department, IRS, OPM, NIH. And before we took the break, we were talking about different things. And coming back, I got a question. How will you take care of your health and well-being in retirement? People will say, well, you should exercise. Well, I don't want to exercise. I want to watch TV, or I want to go down and do X, Y, and Z. But what should that individual be paying attention to other than being happy?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we all have our doctors that are constantly telling us we should lead a healthy lifestyle. And in retirement, you know, nothing changes. I mean, people often tell me, they say, well, you know, I'm going to do that when I retire. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to diet. I'm going to watch my weight. I'll do all of that because I just don't have time now, you know, while I'm working. And the bottom line, I tell individuals, you have time now. And, you know, especially with what's going on right now, and many of you are at home, the bottom line is you can find a way to add some exercise into your day. Think about what your diet is, and in an effort of leading that healthy lifestyle. And it also means things such as, you know, working with your doctors or nutritionist, or if you have a personal trainer. And, you know, and one of the things, especially now, and I'm finding that I do more, are you have the online exercise classes. You have, you know, places such as, you know, Peloton. You have Silver Sneakers, which, you know, I was looking at that the other day, and it's a program for individuals 65 and plus, and where it basically provides online cardio, yoga types of programs. And for instance, even just the fact of right now being able to get outside and walk, those are going to be some of the things. It doesn't require, I'd say, you know, signing up at a gym in order to do that. And I know one of the things that, you know, I was just doing a retirement program with State Department this month, and we were looking at a video talking about different blue zones in the world where individuals, you know, have healthy lifestyles. And one of the things it made a point of was that it didn't necessarily require you to be exercising in what we think is the typical way of exercising, going to the gym. But it was just as we live our lives, being able to do things, walking more, or doing some physical work if you can. So these are the sorts of ways that you can keep yourself healthy. And even now I realize, you know, things such as wearable technology help to keep us healthy by at least being able to monitor what's going on with us. And so those are the sorts of things that when you talk about your health, you're looking at that whole range of things that we can do to have a healthier lifestyle.
Very good. So following on that, the healthier lifestyle would then bring up, well, where do I live? Do I stay stationary in the home? Maybe it's too big. Maybe it's too small. Do I want to live in a condo? Do I want to live in a high rise? Do I want to change locations, space requirements? So where do you, I'm coming in under your good graces, and I go, where should I move? And what do you tell me?
I mean, the bottom line is you have to be the one to decide where. You know, I tell individuals, if you would do a Google search to say where's the best place to live, you're going to probably find, you know, 100 different best places to live. And it depends on why these individuals want to move to these places. But I tell folks, you've got to really think about what your needs are, you know. And so when we start talking about, you know, where will you live? You know, how much space will you require? If you're downsizing, you know, because you're an empty nester and you just say, I just don't need this amount of space, well, at least you've made some decision of, I do need to downsize. And the biggest issue I find with people downsizing is, you know, how do you get rid of all the stuff that you've accumulated over 30, 40 years. And so I know many of you have probably heard of Marie Kondo method, where she says, keep only those things that speak to the heart and discard items that no longer spark joy. So again, you've got to decide when you downsize how you're going to do it. And then we get to that aspect of relocating. You know, will you stay put? You know, you may just decide you want to move to a smaller place, a condo. You may say, I don't need the yard work anymore. So you may decide you want to move to a condo or something that has less requirement for upkeep. But you would make that sort of decision. You know, some individuals will say, well, you know, I want to move out of this, of a certain area. I know when I do retirement seminars, when I ask that question, I'll say, you know, how many of you plan to relocate? And you'll get, I'd say, about half of the individuals in the room to raise their hand, and you'll ask them why. You know, some will say, well, I want to relocate because I want warmer weather. Some people may say, I want to relocate because I want to be closer to family. Some will even say, I want to relocate to get away from family. So you've got to figure out, you know, if you will, you know, how you'll do that. But then the other side are going to be, what are those considerations when you relocate? You know, you've got to make sure you think about your spouse or your significant other. You know, and sometimes individuals want to move away because of the tax burden. You know, they'll say, you know, I'm tired of paying state income tax. But I tell them, you also, and that's probably in your field, Bob, where, you know, we have to look at the full range of taxes and not just state income taxes when we're talking about relocation. You know, even looking at employment, because some individuals may want to relocate, but may still want to work. So they've got to now look and see what type of employment opportunities would be in those areas, and what the cost of living is. These are the sorts of things. But relocation, I tell them, is not a one-time thing, because we have different phases of our retirement. We have early, mid, and late retirement. And so what could happen is you could find yourself moving in early retirement to some place because of the fact that you want warmer weather. But let's suppose toward late retirement, you have health issues and your family is somewhere else. You may decide you want to move again. So I always tell individuals, it's something that you are constantly going to be looking at. But it's important to understand that these are the considerations if you're relocating.
That's very, very profound, and some that I've listened to and talk with, they say, gee, I wish I had spent more time. Let's say I want to move to XYZ city, and they move to XYZ city, but they didn't think about which quadrant of the city or which half of the city they want to relocate to. And unfortunately, they found that there was a better place to move to within that city than where they are. So some people have said, we would rent for 6 months and determine whether we'd like that area or not. Or I don't think you can find rents for 3 months, but, you know, boots on the ground knowledge. And they go, gee, I should have been here. Or, boy, this sounds like a great idea. And there's a term, I was in a class once, and somebody asked me, do you know what a halfback is? And I go, yeah, they play football. And they go, no, that's somebody that moves from wherever area we were talking about to a warmer climate. And they found that the warmer climate wasn't so great, but going back to the colder climate was not going to happen, so they moved halfway back home. So, I thought they were talking about a football player, but it was, I'll never forget it because it made sense. You know, test it first and then see if that's really where you want to be.
No, that's true.
All righty. Now, this is picking a place. We're talking about space requirements and relocation. What about community activities? What about the somewhat shy person that, you know, is hard to get motivated to go to a group and say, I'd like to volunteer to work with you, or you might have an ego mixed in there with somebody that was a high-level manager within the federal government and has a hard time listening to somebody tell them what to do. So how do you work with those people, Herb?
Well, what happens is, again, I tell individuals, what are the things that you enjoy doing? Because that, to me, is going to help you be more successful. And so in regards to your community, there's so many ways to get involved in your community. You may want to volunteer at a local community organization. It could be your church or your synagogue. One of the things I find more and more of now, we have affinity groups, individuals who enjoy doing certain things. And by getting involved with things like this, it begins to open the door. Sometimes I tell, when we look at the path once you retire, there's going to be a lot of forks in the road. And so what will happen is you may say, I want to do this, and this is how I want to get involved. And you'll do that for a while, and then all of a sudden, something else will pique your interest or something will happen, and you will leave that and do something else. And so for the person who may be shy, initially, it may be getting involved in taking a course in regards to involving yourself with other people. That may happen, and then as you do that, then you begin to expand that network. I mean, there's some organizations out there that can really help individuals. For instance, one's called Aging in Place. You even have virtual volunteering these days, and it's a group, volunteermatch.org. So that way, even if you're not the type, you're more leaning toward introversion and you're not ready to get out there, there's still opportunities where you can still be useful. I know some schools may have one-on-one, I'd say, tutoring of individuals, of kids. And especially now, I can see where that may even be more necessary in a virtual format, since schools are going to a virtual format right now. So there's a lot of things out there that you can get involved with your community, and a lot of resources online. I always tell individuals, if you're not sure of what's around, just do a search, and even something like volunteering near me, and all of a sudden you'll see a list of organizations that are looking for individuals. And so I say, it's out there, and you go at your own speed.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and then when you're done with the answer, you can ask me the same question. How about this?
Okay.
I bet we have different answers. What got you in? What got you into the field that you're in with helping people, and you had to acquire the knowledge to be helpful, but what drew you to it?
Well, really, it was interesting. when I got ready to retire, and I've been retired for going on 7 years now. It seems like it was yesterday. But one of the things I realized, I was an HR director. So one of the things you do in HR, you help people. I had done other things. I taught over at a university. So I felt that one of the skills or talents I had was helping people in more of a teaching type of way. So that is what I realized. That was my sort of strength, was teaching and helping people. So that was a way of transitioning. And so I began to look at things that I enjoyed doing. And one was coaching and counseling individuals. And so once I retired, I went ahead and got different certifications in different things, a retirement coach, a Myers-Briggs type indicator instructor. So these were the sorts of things that I did. And with that, other doors opened. Even one of the things I did, I became a docent over at the Smithsonian Museum of African Art, because I'd spent some years in Africa with State Department. And so when I got back, I said it would be nice to learn a little bit more. So I think what I find happen, and this is what I tell individuals, is that there'll be things that happen in your life that help you to determine what are those areas that you may enjoy doing. So now, Bob, I'll ask you that question. How did you, you know, get into what you're doing?
It's a good question, and you're not going to believe the answer. Basically, I'm shy. I was painfully shy, even through high school and college. And when I graduated, I went to work, and this was in a time where you couldn't find a job, and I got a job doing tax returns. I didn't know how to do a tax return, but they taught me. But the individual that ran the department was really tough. He was like a drill sergeant. And at times I didn't like it, but it actually changed my life. And he taught me to talk in front of a group. You have to kind of bring them down to your level. So, you know, you have respect for the group, but you know, mentally you're saying something else. And it got me out of that. And now I'm able to talk to you, and I'm able to talk to other people. I like talking to people, but basically if I walk in a room, unless I know somebody, I'm going to be hanging around the punch bowl.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, you know, once you meet somebody, then you can talk, and then you can talk to somebody else. But it's getting started. I'm still kind of sort of that way, but a little less so.
Okay.
All right. Some people are going to know, but it's true. So talking about that, what social relationships will we look for? Let's say that we move, and family ought to be a guiding post where we should move, but let's say we don't. How do I find friends? Well, I think finding friends isn't the hardest thing to do, but what if somebody says, well, you know, what are you going to do for social relationships? And you go, well, you know, I'll go to the movies, and, you know, I'll go out to dinner, and that's it. But there's got to be something more to it than that.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, you know, the bottom line is when you move to a new place, you have to make new acquaintances. And this is where, you know, the ability to get yourself involved, even if it's taking some type of class, it could be an exercise class, it could be something that you were interested in learning, so you now have done it. And you also may have groups within a place, especially if you're moving to a, you know, a community where you have an active, I'd say, life, then at that point, it may be easier for you to make new acquaintances. But the bottom line is, if you are moving away from family and friends, you will need to think about what are the sorts of things that you enjoy doing, so that way you can also reach out and get involved in a way that you feel comfortable. I mean, and on top of that, you know, it's not going to only be those new acquaintances, but how will you maintain your old friends? And that's going to be, because I find, you know, old friends can sometimes help, you know, us in being stable, even though we may have moved. So, you know, you may not be able to visit with them physically, but you can reach out, and especially, you know, when you consider what's going on right now, you know, we're reaching out via phone, via a lot of technology, things such as WhatsApp, our Zoom, our Facebook, FaceTime. So these are the sorts of things that I would say is important. And some people may say, well, I don't know how to use some of this new technology. And I tell them the bottom line is you just have to learn. For instance, last week we moved from a face-to-face course to a virtual course a couple of weeks ago with a course over at State Department. The bottom line is we had to figure out how to keep this course going, even though it was going to be virtual. And one of the things that I had never used before, but I used it for the first time a couple of weeks ago, was an application called Zoom. And it wasn't that hard. And I even tell individuals, you can probably go online and there are instructions via YouTube. So that would be something that you could also do.
Very good. I believe it's time to take another break, and the good folks listening can listen to what NITP can do for them.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to NITP's For Your Benefit. We have Herb Casey on the line today, and he's a federal benefits specialist with NITP, but a lot of boots on the ground knowledge as well as experience. And right before the break, we were talking about social relationships. How knowledgeable are you, not you, Herb, of your retirement benefits? So in other words, if I was talking to an individual, which I would never do in this regard, how knowledgeable are you about your retirement benefits as a federal employee? So how somebody might say, well, I know that after a certain number of years, I get X, Y, and Z, but there's so many nice variables that it's more than a career and a certain number of years.
Yeah, and this is one of the things when I do the courses, you know, one of the things we like to start out with is, you know, making sure that people understand, first of all, which retirement system they're in, if they're in the FERS or the old CSRS. And by doing that, they will know what the annuity would be based on their years of service and age. And they also would need to know, you know, what's the best time to retire? You know, do they retire at the end of the month or do they retire at the beginning of the month? So it's important for them and for those individuals in the old CSRS system, you know, they all understand or they should understand that the end of the month or the first 3 days of the month will be the best time for them to retire, because at that point their annuity begins the next day, whereas an individual who's FERS should be aware that they should retire closer to the end of the month, because otherwise if they retired at the beginning of a month, their annuity would not start until that following month. So this is where it's important for you to understand, first of all, your retirement system. But one of the things that's important also is making sure you have reviewed your official personnel folder to verify that you have all of your service there, because you may have some service, it could be for military or prior civilian service, that you don't have credit for. And it's important for you to make sure you get all the credit that you can, because that will add to your years of service. So those are going to be the first two things that I, you know, make sure individuals are aware of. And then I move into things such as their ability to understand their Social Security, you know, and again, we won't go through that here, but again, understanding what their benefits, the ability to review their benefit statement, and even creating an online Social Security account to keep track of your earnings and deposits, because most of us probably remember those green benefit statements that come from Social Security periodically, that basically say at age 62, this is what you will get, at, your full retirement age, this is what you would get, and at 70, this is what you get. Well, they're beginning to stop mailing those out as frequently. So the one thing they want us all to do is to basically have an online Social Security account. So I tell individuals, that's another thing that as you're preparing, make sure you have one of those online Social Security accounts, because now you can go in and see what you would typically have seen with that earnings statement that you get from Social Security. Then I move into things such as, you know, your insurances. You know, the whole aspect, if you have the Federal Employees Health Benefit Program, the fact that you have to have it at least, you know, 5 years immediately before retiring to take it into retirement with you. So this is an important thing for individuals, and that's why it's important to take a retirement seminar at your agency throughout your career, so that way you're not waiting until the last few years, and at that point you have surprises because you didn't know these sorts of things. And then, you know, just the fact of, you know, what your, if you have the Federal Employees Group Life Insurance, understanding it and know what you can keep and understanding that you have to have had it for 5 years prior to retirement too. And then, you know, there are other things such as assessing your need for long-term care insurance. Some people have it. Some people will need to determine if it's something that they can fit into their budget, because the one biggest concern with long-term care insurance is just the fact that it's the expense of it. So those are going to be some of the things that I focus on when I'm sort of saying, know what your federal government retirement benefits are. And then I think once you do that, it's helping you to at least prepare and to be ready for that retirement.
Okay, and the coaching and discussing things with people with reference to their career, you eventually get to retirement. And you would certainly have more experience with this than myself, but this is not always the case. But years ago, we were outside the D.C. metro area, in the South, let's say. And it was a huge government installation. And we had a little booth to say, gee, you know, you can email us questions, you can listen to the radio show, or we can come and do a retirement seminar at this location. And this lady came up, and she was a little tough. Nah, she was real tough. And she looks at me and she says, you just want me to take your seminar so you'll make more money. And I go, well, that would be tough, because the seminars are paid by the agency, so there's no cost to you, and it's fairly popular. And she goes, well, then why would I want to know? And I said, well, just you'd like to know more about your benefits, how to maximize your annuity. And I promise you this is true. She looked at me and she said, what's an annuity? I said, it's a payment for life based on your years in service and your highest compensation. And she goes, no. And I said, listen, because she was getting a little heated at this point. I said, I'll make you a deal. I want you to go back and ask your supervisor if you're entitled to an annuity. And if the answer is no, I want you to come back and I want to treat you and your three best friends to the finest restaurant in town. I said, but if it is, I just want you to be happy. And she came back. And she hugged me. She says, I have an annuity. Whew. Still gives me chills.
Great.
Anyway, I don't think that's a large segment of our group, but we talk more about maximize. This is not a commercial, folks, because you can't pay for anything. You don't pay to listen to it on radio. If you go to it at your agency, we do webinars. We do sometimes seminars regionally. So it's there for the taking. So that was my life experience with somebody that didn't know that. What I just figured, and it has to be other people like that. Remember now, this is way outside of Metro DC or Chicago or in LA or something, like it might be more common knowledge. So Herb, in your career, this is probably not fair to ask you, but I'm going to do it anyway. In dealing with somebody, and this somebody could be, and they came to see you, and they had a vision of something that they wanted to do, but you just knew in your heart of hearts that they either weren't going to be able to do it or was too tall an order. So how do you switch them off this goal to go to the next goal?
Again, it gets back to that whole aspect of determining, you know, things such as your strengths or your personality. And one of the things I tell individuals is important to also think about is begin to do a rehearse that future path, you know, sort of figure out what you think you want to do, but begin to rehearse it even before you retire. And it will give you an advantage because at that point, for instance, what if you said you wanted to, you know, let's say be a singer, you know, you always wanted to do that. Well, the bottom line is don't wait to retire to begin to look at that. And this is the best way I find versus telling people, I'm sorry, this just isn't going to work for you, is to tell them to begin to look at what it requires and begin to do those things. And then at that point, they may realize that, yes, this is a lot more than I am able to do. Or they may have people, especially teachers, that may sort of help them understand that. So this is where I say to individuals, you know, before you retire, in the years leading up to retirement, it's wise to go ahead and invest in whatever those activities that you think you may want to focus on, because now you have that time to do so. Prior to retirement, and that you can learn a lot about yourself and a lot about this area that you think you want to do during this period of time.
Did you ever work with somebody, excuse me, that felt that they had the vision to do X, Y, or Z, but in your heart of hearts, I mean, you're dealing with people that might look like this or might look at it the other way. How do you kind of say, this may not be for you? Were you ever faced with that?
Yeah, and often I'm faced with it when I'm doing career counseling, or because now you basically are looking at those individuals' resumes, or you know, as far as you try to get them to say, first thing I need you to do is to put down on paper what are these things, what are your skills, what are your accomplishments. And at that point, in helping them to create this resume or this sort of database of their accomplishments, you can begin to pull out trends. And sometimes a person may say, well, this is what I want to do. But then when I take a look at the things that they put down, I begin to ask them, well, you know, you tell me this is what you want to do. But what I don't see it do is that, is it anywhere? I try to let them know that what I see is this focus, and is this, you know, they want to leave this and to move to something else. And then if they do, that's when I tell them, okay, let's take a look and see what that will require. And now it helps them to understand that just because I say I want to do something doesn't necessarily mean that I can do it if I don't prepare for it.
It's a statement for life, too, isn't it, as we go through life, but certainly towards the latter days of working. The big question is how will I accept retirement? You know, I talk to people, you certainly talk to a lot more than I, and they go, I can't wait to retire. What are you going to do? I'm not going to do anything. And I go, well, maybe yes, maybe no. I knew of one individual and was fairly involved with, I won't say what it was, but it was a federal agency that does something. And they were you know, on the edge about things, but they retired. They didn't do anything. They watched TV, and they're very happy to do it. That one was surprising, because they went from the fast lane all the way over to the slow lane, but they were happy to do it. So it taught me something early on. Just because you were in the fast lane doesn't mean you have to stay in it, or you can go to the middle lane.
That's right.
So, and then some people have ideas about, well, you know, I want to do this, that, or another thing. And I clearly don't do anything like what you do, but sometimes you might say, well, I might say, well, what about something? Well, I don't know what to do. And I'd say, well, here, you know, listen to this show or read this book. But my knowledge of what you do, Herb, is paper thin. So I have enough to get off the subject and go somewhere else. But all righty, Herb, what would you say? You know, we've covered a lot of ground here. We have just a couple minutes left, not even that. So what would be your final comment to the people that are like the RCA dog listening to your voice?
Okay, I would say the biggest thing is going to be you need to define your concept of retirement. And, you know, and one of the things I did with a group, I thought it was neat, was to, you can make a journal of what it is you feel you want to do. You can create a vision board, which is sort of a representation of your goals. And sort of helps you to look at that and have a plan A and a plan B because plan A may not work, but at least you've got a plan B. Be open-minded. Talk with others who've retired and see what they've done and see why they do it. And set yourself realistic goals and retire to something. Not saying I just want to get out of this job. But retire to something. What is it that you're looking forward to? And then realizing that you'll need to adjust your plans periodically. That's what I've done, is that, you know, you come to a fork in the road and you say, what, you know, look at your plan again and say a year from now or a year, you know, what will I do now? So that's sort of what I would say is sort of in a summary way what individuals should be looking at.
Well, this has been great. I would call this a life coach session as well. I hope you don't take offense to that, but
no.
Anyway, Andrew's smiling. Andrew is the ever-efficient engineer responsible for the 100% quality that comes out of this show, and we'll be here next week. And thanks for listening, Herb. Thanks for a riveting, really, discussion.
Thank you for having me on.
All righty. Bye-bye, all.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.